Chapter 112. No woman ought to want him to marry him, said Mab, with indignation. I never should. Fancy finding out that he had a tailor's bill and used boot hooks, like Hans. Whoever thought of his marrying? I have, said Kate. When I drew a wedding for a frontispiece to Hearts and Diamonds, I made a sort of likeness to him for the bridegroom, and I went about looking for a grand woman who would do for his countess, but I saw none that would not be poor creatures by the side of him. You should have seen this Mrs. Grandcourt then, said Mrs. Merrick. H. Hans says that she and Mr. Deronda set each other off when they are side by side. She is tall and fair. But you know her, Mira, you can always say something descriptive. What do you think of Mrs. Grandcourt? I think she is the Princess of Eboli in Don Carlos, said Mira, with a quick intensity. She was pursuing an association in her own mind not intelligible to her ears, an association with a certain actress as well as the part she represented. Your comparison is a riddle for me, my dear, said Mrs. Merrick, smiling. You said that Mrs. Grandcourt was tall and fair, continued Mira, slightly paler. That is quite true. Mrs. Merrick's quick eye and ear detected something unusual, but immediately explained it to herself. Fine ladies had often wounded Mira by caprices of manner and intention. Mrs. Grandcourt had thought of having lessons of Mira, she said turning to Anna. But many have talked of having lessons, and then have found no time. Fashionable ladies have too much work to do. And the chat went on without further insistence on the Princess of Eboli. That comparison escaped Mira's lips under the urgency of a pang unlike anything else he had felt before. The conversation from the beginning had revived unpleasant impressions, and Mrs. Merrick's suggestion of Gwendolyn's figure by the side of Deronda's had the stinging effect of a voice outside her, confirming her secret conviction that this tall and fair woman had some hold on his lot. For a long while afterward she felt as if he had had a jarring shock through her frame. In the evening, putting her cheek against her brother's shoulder as she was sitting by him, while he sat propped up in bed under a new difficulty of breathing, she said, Ezra, does it ever hurt your love for Mr. Deronda, that so much of his life was all hidden away from you, that he is amongst persons and cares about persons who are also unlike us, I mean unlike you? No, assuredly no, said Mordecai. Rather it is a precious thought to me, that he has a preparation which I lacked, and is an accomplished Egyptian. Then, recollecting that his words had reference which his sister must not yet understand, he added, I have the more to give him, since his treasure differs from mine. That is a blessedness in friendship. Mira mused a little. Still, she said, it would be a trial to your love for him, if that other part of his life were like a crowd in which he had got entangled, so that he was carried away from you, I mean in his thoughts, and not merely carried out of sight as he is now, and not merely for a little while, but continually. How should you bear that? Our religion commands us to bear. But how should you bear it? Not well, my sister, not well. But it will never happen, said Mordecai, looking at her with a tender smile. He thought that her heart needed comfort on his account. Mira said no more. She mused over the difference between her own state of mind and her brother's, and felt her comparative pettiness. Why could she not be completely satisfied with what satisfied his larger judgment? She gave herself no fuller reason than a painful sense of unfitness in what? Airy possibilities to which she could give no outline, but to which one name and one figure gave the wandering persistency of a blot in her vision. Here lay the vaguer source of the hidden sadness rendered noticeable to Hans by some diminution of that sweet ease, that ready joyousness of response in her speech and smile, which had come with the new sense of freedom and safety, and had made her presence like the freshly opened daisies and clear bird notes after the rain. She herself regarded her uneasiness as a sort of ingratitude and dullness of sensibility toward the great things that had been given her in her new life, And whenever she threw more energy than usual into her singing, it was the energy of indignation against the shallowness of her own content. In that mood she once said, "Shall I tell you, what is the difference between you and me, Ezra? You are a spring in the drought, and I am an acorn cup. The waters of heaven fill me, but the least little shake leaves me empty." "Why, what has shaken thee?" said Mordecai. He fell into this antique form of speech habitually in talking to his sister, and to the Cohen children. "Thoughts," said Mira, "thoughts that come like a breeze, and shake me, bad people, wrong things, misery and how they might touch our life. We must take our portion, Mira. It is there. On whose shoulder would we lay it, that we might be free?" The one voluntary sign she made of her inward care was this distant illusion. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.